Good morning. We wanted to introduce that song just because it goes really with our theme for this morning. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Would you pray with me? Lord, we certainly do give you thanks for this day. And Lord, we ask that, Lord, as we live our lives in this world, we certainly do not turn to you every time. But Lord, we pray that we are able to say, where you go, I'll go. Where you lead, I'll lead. Lord, we will follow you wherever you take us. Lord, we also know that as we live our lives in this world, that we have sin that's a part of our life. Lord, that we've hurt people and people have hurt us. But Lord, we pray that in some way we can practice that forgiveness that you so freely give to us, that we can apply that to our lives and forgive those people who hurt us. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning. Lord, that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have racing through our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to say, the book of Ruth is a very fascinating book. It's an easy read. It's got a storyline to it. And I think why it's sometimes so intriguing is the fact that it's just common everyday life. I mean, if we look at what Ruth experienced, Naomi experienced, what their whole family experienced, it's just stuff that happens in life. I mean, it's stuff that goes on in our lives. It's stuff that went on in their life. It's stuff that goes on in everybody's life. And we're going to look at some of those things as we go through this passage. But if you would like to turn to Ruth chapter 1 in your Bibles and follow along. Verse 1, it just simply says, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." So we're kind of getting the stage set here. In our Bible class and in our Sunday school classes right now, we're going through the book of Judges during the time period of the judges that came and ruled. The people would fall away. God would send a nation to punish them. Then he would send a judge to come in and rescue them. Then there would be some time of repentance and rest. It was during this time period when there was a famine. We're told right here there's a famine in the land. So a man... there's a famine in the land, and a man and his wife and two sons go to Moab. Now, I know this might sound a little strange just to pick up and leave when things get tough, right? But this is nothing unusual that's happening here. I mean, it may not be that it happens all the time, but you can probably think of a couple instances where someone in the Bible has already gone to a distant country when there was a famine in the land. Abram and Sarai, when they were called out of Ur, they went to Haran, then they went down to Canaan. There was a famine in the land. Abram took his wife Sarai to Egypt. Now, if you remember in that particular story, what did Abram say Sarah was? He didn't say it's my wife, it was my sister. And so to kind of get you thinking about that story, but they go to Egypt because there's a famine in the land. If you recall Jacob, who has the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph is sold by his brothers. He goes down to Egypt. Pharaoh has a couple of dreams. Joseph interprets those. There's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. When that famine hit, it hit Egypt, it hit the land of Canaan, it hit everywhere. And where does Jacob and his sons wind up? They go to Egypt because there's food there. So it's not unusual for someone to pick up and move because there's a famine. And that's what we see happening here with Elimelech. Well, they haven't even said his name yet. The man and his wife and his two sons. And so the next verse, verse 2, The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. Now, just to kind of put a perspective on this, David was actually an Ephrathite. So this is the same line that David is of, the family line. And so they leave Bethlehem and they go to Moab. Verse 3, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. Here's when I said this story has things that just are about life. I mean, here we have a wife who loses her husband. We've already had, in a sense, a hardship because there was a famine in the land. They had to move. And now she's lost her husband, and we think to ourselves, well, at least she still has her two sons, right? For right now, we can say that. If we go on, these two Moabite... where did I skip? Yeah, these took Moabite wives. So the two sons took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. So now, all of a sudden, life has really struck hard, right? She lost her husband, and now she's lost her two sons. She's off in a distant country away from family. I mean, does this not sound like life? I mean, some of us have experienced some of these exact things. The loss of loved ones, heartache, hardship. And life continues. So then she arose, Naomi arose with her two daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. So she gets word, somehow she hears that her homeland, Judah, has food again, and so her plan is to return. You get the sense here that the two daughters-in-law are returning with her. And then, but Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Here we have this whole idea of the kinsman redeemer coming into play here. If someone was to lose their husband, they were to marry one of the brothers. But there's no brother here to marry. And what Naomi's saying, and I'm too old to have children. And even if I do have children, are you going to wait till they grow up old enough to marry them? And she's encouraging them, no, stay, go back to your family. And we don't know how far away they were, but she says, return to your family. And Orpah kisses her and returns to her family, but Ruth clung to her. And then in verse 15, and she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people. and to her gods, return after your sister-in-law. So she's encouraging Ruth, go, please return to your people. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge or where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. Ruth was insistent that she was going to cling to Naomi. And not only, I mean, there's a lot of things coming into play here. You know, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to stay where you stay. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And you get this sense that once she was married into that family, they became a family, and there was nothing that was going to separate that. And as I was thinking about this message for today, and as I was thinking about the story of Ruth and this family clinging to one another and not returning to their own people, but staying with Ruth, I thought, isn't that not only the way family in general works, but isn't that the way even a church body family works? You know what? We're family. We cling to each other. In the church here, whatever we believe together. We're here to support each other. We're here to encourage each other. And I think if we even take a look at what has happened in Ruth and Naomi's life, the tragedy, the heartache, the hardship, there was some joy too. And you might say, when you're reading that first chapter, where? But think about it for a moment. What did Naomi do? She married Elimelech, right? Aren't weddings a happy occasion? Yeah. Naomi and Elimelech, they had two sons. What is a greater joy than having a child? Now, Elimelech, we get the sense from the passage here that Elimelech didn't get to see this, but the two sons married. That's joy to see your children marry, right? So there was joy, but yet inside that joy too, we have tragedy, we have hardship, we have heartache. Isn't that what happens in real life? Isn't that what happens in our personal families? Isn't that what happens even in a church body? I mean, we experience great times of joy here. We have weddings, we have baptisms. We have anniversaries. We have birthdays that we celebrate. But yeah, hardship as well. We have tragedy. We have death. We have hardships. We have physical ailments. We have disease and things that take over. But yet, what are we to do? We're here to cling to each other. We're here to walk alongside each other. We're here to encourage each other. We're here to lift each other up. And as I thought about our church family today, it's hard to believe that I've been here just a little bit over 7 years. And we've been through it all, right? We've had all of those instances that Ruth and Naomi and their family experience. We've had it all happen right here. And I pray that we've been a support and an encouragement to each other. But you know what else goes on in a family? Does everybody in a family get along all the time? Absolutely not. You know, I'm going to say that there's probably been some times that some of you have frustrated me. I've been irritated. Been grouchy. But you know what? I'm going to guarantee you that there's been times that I have frustrated the hound out of you. You've been irritated with me. You've probably wanted to pull my head off at times, thinking, what is he thinking? But what I'm here to do today is I'm here to ask for your forgiveness for all those times that I've done that. And I'm going to promise you that it's not my intention to do that. And I'm going to say, speaking for you, it's not your intention probably to irritate me. But it happens, right? Why? Because we're sinful human beings. That's why. We're sinful, and it gets the best of us at times. But you see, that's the beauty of a church body. Yeah, we experience tragedy, hardship. We experience joy. But we also get to experience the greatest gift that God has given to us. And that is forgiveness. You know, Jesus didn't just die on the cross because he thought that'd be a cool thing to do. He didn't die on the cross because he thought, well, I guess I have to. He did it because he wanted to. He did it because he knew that if he died on the cross, if he took the punishment, we wouldn't have to. And our sins would be completely forgiven. The sins right now, the sins that we've committed in the past, the sins that we're going to commit in the future, he died for all of those. And now, as a believing body of Christ, what does he want us to do? He wants us to practice that same forgiveness. I'm going to say that, at least just from my standpoint, I have certainly enjoyed being here in Hamilton. I mean, I don't think I could ask for a better place to be. And yes, am I going to get on somebody's nerves in the future? Probably so. Just slap me and tell me, cut it out. Are you going to get under my skin at times? Well, probably slow. I'm not going to slap you, though. That might cause more problems than we need. But we are here. We're here to walk together. We're here to stay together. We're here to lodge together. We're here so that my God is your God. Your God is my God. And we have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel-saving message of Jesus Christ together. We walk with each other in this world, and we proclaim Jesus Christ together. And I'm going to say that God is certainly not finished with us here in Hamilton by a long shot. He's got a lot of work for us to do. And we can only accomplish that when we put Him first and when we walk together. I pray that God continues to strengthen us, that He continues to help us encourage each other, to lift each other up so that we can be about His work. Will we experience tragedy? Yes. Will we experience loss? Yes. Will we have heartaches? Yes. Will we have joy? Yes. But God is in all of that. And we walk together as we serve our God. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.